What's up, divers? Welcome into the Deep Dive Fantasy Football Podcast, where I take a deep analytical look at fantasy football and combine it with a common sense approach to lead us to some titles. I'm your host, Brandon Gabor, and before we get started, remember you can follow me on my main platform being Twitter at DeepDiveFF or on Instagram at DeepDiveFantasyFootball. With that being said, let's get to the content. What's up, divers? Welcome to another episode of Deep Dive Fantasy Football. We are continuing our rookie wide receiver incoming series. And this time, we've got five new guys. We're going to go over Ladd McConkey, 6 foot, 185 pounds. Xavier Leggett, Brian Thomas, Keon Coleman, and Jalen Polk. So those are the five people we are going to be going over today in that order. So if you think you've got enough on one guy and you want to skip around, then feel free to do so. That's going to be Ladd McConkey right now, then Xavier Leggett, then Brian Thomas, Keon Coleman, and lastly, Jalen Polk. All right, starting with Ladd. He is my wide receiver 6 in film grade with a 50 out of 65. He's 6 feet tall, 185 pounds, 22 years old at the start of this NFL season. His RAS score was good, not great. 8.45 out of 10, so good RAS score there. His best season to date, 58 receptions, 762 receiving yards, 9 touchdowns. He also had 134 rushing yards in that season, and that season was 15 games long. So when we're looking at Ladd McConkey, and it's somebody that a lot of people are pegging as our possible sleeper wide receiver that goes really late and then comes onto the scene strong in the NFL and is really good. I don't peg him as that. I think he can produce, and I think he can produce right away and be good for fantasy, but I don't think he's going to have the potential to become one of those superstar fantasy wide receivers. Now, maybe, but it would be extremely volume-based, and I don't think he's going to get that kind of volume. So when we're looking at Ladd McConkey, what are his pros? He's got elite route running, separation, and awareness. He also has really good hands and very high IQ. Those are the most important things of being a wide receiver. And the most important things of being a wide receiver, he has down. But he's got a smaller frame, and he lacks physicality. He's also not great in contested catch situations. Not bad, but he's not great. He's not somebody that you would feel comfortable throwing a contested ball up to. He should go top 50. And as I ended the last podcast saying that I have Ricky Pearsall slightly above him for the potential, the higher potential that Pearsall holds in those contested catch situations, being a little bit stronger and having more to provide after the catch if he develops that. Ladd McConkey has a safer floor, which I mentioned, and that's because what we talked about. He's got elite route running, separation, awareness, and really good hands, high IQ. That's what you want. That's what you want in a wide receiver. It's a perfect guy that could be deployed as a, and I'm trying to think of a example of somebody that's not white because everybody just thinks that people are being like, you know, comparing him to other white guys because he's white. That's not the case. Okay. But he could be a very good Julian Edelman type of role, or a, who was the other slot guy that the Patriots had? I'm trying to remember his name. I can't think of it at the moment. Wes Welker. He could be something like that, you know, except he's more athletic. He's a little bit faster than those guys, and a little bit burstier and quicker, which gives him more potential. He can do more, but I don't ever see him being somebody that is snapping off a slant, breaking a tackle over the middle, and taking it to the house. That's not really in his wheelhouse of things that he can do. But he's somebody that's going to be very good and a fair producer. He could be a back-end wide receiver too for fantasy football. Somebody that you feel comfortable having as, you know, on your dynasty teams, a wide receiver 3 or 4 that's going to get you a consistent 10 to 15 points a game once he's found his spot, you know, once he's settled into his role. Then that's what he can be. And that's good. That's really good for fantasy, especially for deep leagues, stuff like that. But I do not think he has potential to become an alpha, is basically what I'm getting around to. And everybody that we've talked about so far, the big three, Adonai Mitchell, could all be alphas. The big three are going to be alphas, most likely. Adonai Mitchell has the potential for that. Ricky Pearsall, while he might not be an alpha, he could be like a Doug Baldwin type of alpha, in my opinion. Ladd McConkey, I don't see that in his range of outcomes. I do think that he will be a very solid number two for an offense. So he's got film grade 50 for me. And he's going to be my wide receiver 6 in film grade. Now, if he gets taken above Ricky Pearsall, they're so close in film grade right now that, you know, he'll probably end up above him in my rankings. But we'll have to see how landing spot and all that stuff works out. Xavier Leggett, he is 6'1", 220 pounds, coming out of South Carolina, 23 years old. His relative athletic score, very good, 9.92 out of 10. His best season so far, 71 receptions, 1,255 yards, 7 touchdowns, negative 9 rushing yards, and that was in 12 games. His film grade, for me, which might be surprising to some people, especially because if you look at Ladd McConkey and you look at Xavier Leggett, then you're going to say, one of these guys is a much better wide receiver and polished than the other. But something that you have to remember in my film grades is that things like potential do manifest themselves in certain categories. And you can see that because in my grading rubric, which if you have the, if you've purchased the draft sheets, not only does it have all my projections and stuff, it also has my rookie sheets and my rookie grading rubric and what my grades are in each category for each rookie, stuff like that. And if you have that, if you have access to that, $15. So, you know, take a look. But you'll see that there is contested catch in there. There is run after catch in there. There is tackle breaking in there. And a lot of these guys that are looked at as high potential prospects do have those things. And they do have the tools that make them good at those things. And that's what Xavier Leggett is. And that's why his film grade is high. While he may not be a polished wide receiver, he doesn't have good scores in separation, in route running, in just, you know, the awareness, stuff like that. He has really good scores that help boost him in the physical aspects of the game and the contested catch ability, stuff like that. Something that he's really good at that I really like. He is a little bit older, like I said, 23. Some pros, he's a crazy athlete that wins in contested situations. He's extremely dynamic with the ball in his hands, extremely. Now, it might be a little bit concerning that he's one of the older prospects at 23 when the season begins. That also is not very polished. That could concern you. And if you have that concern, it's a valid concern. And I'm not going to, you know, blame you for it. But when I'm looking at Xavier Leggett, what I see is a guy that has the physical abilities to impact a game right now. It might be in a gimmicky way. He might not be opened up to a lot of different types of routes. You know, he might just learn, hey, Xavier, learn these 5 routes. We're going to deploy you on the field during these packages, and we're going to use you this way until you learn everything else, until you craft your skills as a wide receiver and route running and settling into zone spots and all this stuff. Until you craft that, we're going to give you and use you in these packages. And until then, that's all you're going to get. So he might be somebody that, you know, is kind of a little gimmicky. The way that Cordarrelle Patterson was used somewhat recently in Atlanta, obviously a little different situation. Cordarrelle Patterson's at the end of his career and whatever. But, you know, something like that where he's getting, I could see, 2 carries a game and, you know, 3, maybe 4 targets, and they're one of them or 2 of them are screens. You know, something like that. I can see that, but I'm fine with that. And that's something that he might start at, but if he grows, if he lands in a place that I trust to develop wide receivers, then he's going to be, excuse me, he's going to be somebody that I really like. Looking at some of the cons, like I said, I mean, the routes he ran were very basic. He didn't have any good production early on in college. So people that care about that, they're going to knock him for that. He's a very high potential player that could also be a bust. And he would be the bust with the label of he's not a wide receiver. He's an athlete playing wide receiver. That's a possibility for Xavier Leggett. But he also could be the this is an athlete learning to play wide receiver, and then he becomes one of the better wide receivers after he learns. So you've got your good boom-bust potential here. So that's Xavier Leggett. Now, my third wide receiver that we're talking about today, my wide receiver 8 in film grade overall, is Brian Thomas, and he's somebody that many people have in their top 5. A lot of times, he's their wide receiver 4. So he's somebody that I'm clearly lower on than others. So obviously, I'm going to have to justify my take here, and I'm going to have to explain myself. So looking at his measurables, he's 6'3", 210 pounds. My film grade for him is 46, right? Xavier Leggett was 49.5. So my film grade for Brian Thomas is 46. When I look, just as a quick comparison, when I look at Brian Thomas and compare him to Xavier Leggett, I see somebody who is not as good at breaking tackles, is not as good after the catch, and is similar in strengths and weaknesses, but just not as good after the catch. And that's why I have Xavier Leggett higher than him. When you're looking at Brian Thomas, he's got good age. He's 21 out of LSU, across from Malik Nabers. His relative athletic score is 9.86. His best season, 68 receptions, 1,177 receiving yards, 17 touchdowns, negative 6 rushing yards. That was in 13 games. When you look at him, he's got great size. He's got great speed. He functions as a deep threat. He's always going to help open up an offense and scare the defense. He's got developmental upside, and he's good at the catch point, right? Xavier Leggett was good at the catch point. He's got great size and great speed. He was a decent deep threat. Not as good as Brian Thomas. Brian Thomas is definitely a better deep threat there and is a little bit better of a route runner. Not a little bit. He is a better route runner than Xavier Leggett. But the thing that I'm looking at here as cons for Brian Thomas is he's got a limited route tree, and he has a much higher bust potential than people want to admit. And like I said, similar to Leggett, but just less physical and dynamic. Brian Thomas should go top 50. Xavier Leggett should go round 2. So Brian Thomas is going to have a higher investment. He's younger. He's a little bit taller. And he's a little bit faster. But aside from that, when you're thinking about what he offers, actually, I don't know if he is faster. I have to double check that on pure speed, like just looking at the 40 time, I'm not sure. But it does appear that Brian Thomas plays faster. He's got faster play speed than Xavier Leggett. But for me, Brian Thomas, we haven't seen him run a lot of different types of routes. And the way he has succeeded has mainly been because of his speed. He's good at the catch point. He's got some highlight catches and stuff. You know, he's got some good contested ability. But I don't think he's any better than Xavier Leggett in that area. I think these guys are both very similar. One's just a little bit thicker, and he's shorter and stronger and thicker, and that's Xavier. And they're both at good sizes, you know, not where one is a detriment. I mean, 161, 163. So it's kind of just pick your poison here. If you want somebody that's physical that you think can get those manufactured touches, because Brian Thomas is not going to get manufactured touches. You're not throwing screen balls to Brian Thomas. You're not going to give Brian Thomas carries. You're not going to do stuff like that. You know, he's going to play strictly your traditional like wide receiver type of stuff. So if he doesn't develop those routes right away, he doesn't learn a more expansive route tree and stuff like that, then he's not going to be on the field. Whereas Xavier has other routes to get onto the field, because of the way he can be used as a Debo-esque weapon. So when I'm looking at these two guys, that's why I have Xavier a little bit, a touch higher, you know, nothing crazy. If you want to put Brian Thomas above Xavier, I get it, but I wouldn't put him much higher than that because I think Brian Thomas has a lot of boom-bust potential. And while I do not really have anything against those guys, because I like Xavier Leggett and I recognize that, and Adonai Mitchell, who I like, I recognize that. I feel like we haven't seen so many different, in terms of variety, different things that Brian Thomas is good at. I feel like it's just a couple. Whereas, you know, Adonai Mitchell, he has so many things he's good at. He just doesn't bring it to the table every play. So that's our wide receiver, or my wide receiver 8. Then I've got Keon Coleman. He is my wide receiver 9. He's 6'3", 215 pounds. Film grade is 46. And that is the same as Brian Thomas's, but he is a very different receiver. He's 21 years old. I believe he is, at the start of the season, I believe he's the youngest wide receiver in this draft class, at least among the top guys. I would imagine that that would stay the case, because if you're young, if you're really young, you wouldn't be coming out if you're, you know, rated as like a wide receiver 15 in your class. So I'm pretty sure Keon Coleman is the youngest in the class. And his relative athletic score, this is, okay, this is good to remember, because people look at Keon Coleman and they think that he is one of these wide receivers that is just big and slow. He's not big and slow. He doesn't create great separation, but he's not slow. So this is the thing with Keon Coleman, right? He's somebody that has a lot of physical gifts. His relative athletic score compared to his size, 215 pounds, 6'3", was 9.18. He is better than most and more athletic than most people his size. He's also extremely young. His best season, unfortunately, was 50 receptions, 658 yards, 11 touchdowns. He had 2 rushing yards, and that was in 12 games. It's basically a touchdown a game. He's big, he's strong, and he's athletic. He can bully cornerbacks. He's also a smooth mover, and he threatens anywhere on the field. He can go deep, he can go over the middle, he can take something short, and he possesses great contested abilities, right? He's also, he's pretty good after the catch. Like, he'll break tackles and get to galloping, and that's something that I like a lot too. He's a strong guy, he's not easy to bring down, and like I said, very young. Now, some of the cons: he creates almost no separation. He has the worst separation score out of, I think I've graded, what is it now? I'm 15 wide receivers deep, either 15 or 14. And he's got the worst separation grade of all of them, no doubt. So he doesn't really create separation. He does lack burst, right? But he does have a good top speed. He's a smooth mover, and you know, he might not have like quick twitch stuff, but you don't need that. That's not something that you need, especially with what he brings to the table. You throw the ball up to him, he's going to come down with it. So I think his lack of separation is being blown out of proportion. And I think it's because of the overcorrection that people are doing due to the missing of Quentin Johnston, which, if you guys listen to the podcasts on the rookie guys last year, you know that I was not a huge Quentin Johnston guy. And I felt as though I didn't draft him anywhere. I felt that he had a huge bust potential, but not even like how most people said, oh yeah, you know, he's like boom bust, but most people were thinking that he will be pretty good. Where I was like, guys, the problem, and one of the biggest differences between Quentin Johnston and Keon Coleman, because they're both big guys, they're both, you know, got somewhat long speed, stuff like that. Keon Coleman is a better route runner. He doesn't create separation. That doesn't mean he's not a good route runner. He's just not bursty. He's a little lengthy, you know? So he's a good route runner. He gets to where he should be. Stuff like that, he's good at that. Quentin Johnston was not good at that. Keon Coleman is a great tracker of the football while it's in the air. Quentin Johnston doesn't know how to track a football. Keon Coleman is good in 50-50 situations. Right, Quentin Johnston is not good in 50-50 situations. Quentin Johnston, you throw the ball up to him, and he's like a Chase Claypool. People looked at Claypool, saw his size, saw how athletic he was, stuff like that, and that he wasn't creating separation, and automatically assumed because he was big that he's good at 50-50 balls, that he's a contested catch receiver. You throw the ball. No, Chase Claypool was never good at that, and people had that false perception of him. Same thing with Quentin Johnston. Quentin Johnston, people were like, oh, he could be such a good 50-50 alpha wide receiver, throw the ball. He only has the physical gifts for that, and that's it. He showed you nothing in terms of football tracking, body contortions and body control, you know, like actual hand placement, like nothing that Quentin Johnston was showing you should have led you to that belief. And that's what my big problem with Quentin was that, you know, he didn't even offer anything at the moment because he wasn't a good route runner or anything like that. Keon Coleman is a good route runner, and he is good in 50-50 situations. It sucks that he doesn't create a lot of separation, but he's going to be much bigger than most of the guys that are covering him. And, you know, he knows how to track the football. He brings it down. He's good at that, and he's good after the catch. So even when he is covered up, a lot of times that person that's right on his hip is not going to be able to tackle him. Kind of like Mike Evans, a lot of times somebody's on him and then they're trying to bring him down, pull him down at the waist, and they slide down his legs and he just runs out of it. So I could see that a lot in Keon Coleman. So he's my wide receiver. I think that's 9 now, right? Yeah, wide receiver 9. And his film grade is 46. Very different than Brian Thomas, who he is tied with. Jalen Polk is going to be my wide receiver 10 in film grade right now. I've got him at 44.5. He's 6'1", 205 pounds, out of Washington, playing across from Rome Odunze. So we've got two guys across from the elites in this next group of five, and Brian Thomas across from neighbors, and now Jalen Polk across from Rome Odunze. So Jalen Polk is 22 years old. His relative athletic score is 9.46. His best season to date is 69 receptions, 1,159 yards, 10 touchdowns. He had 32 rushing yards. That was in 15 games. His pros, he's great in contested catch situations. He's got really strong hands. He's got good body control and concentration. If he was a bigger guy, he could be one of the best 50-50 guys in the class. So he's got that down. Right, but he's not a good separator or a refined route runner, and he routinely had guys on his hip despite playing across from Odunze, and that's something that's a little bit scary, because if you've got Rome Odunze, who's supposed to go in the top 10 of this NFL draft, is viewed by some as the next best wide receiver after Marvin Harrison, and I think I actually heard one person say, oh, that's my wide receiver one. I think that might be pushing it a little bit, but you know what? They're all three so good and so close to each other, I don't mind. You know, have your takes. But if you're playing across from that guy, you are always going to get easier coverage. If they're playing safety help, you're not the one who has safety help. You're the one who's got the one-on-one. If they're playing man, you've got the second best corner, not the first best. And this isn't the NFL. This is college. A lot of the teams you're playing, that second best corner is buns. And somehow, despite that, they're always on his hip. And that is my problem with Jalen Polk. He's basically functioning like Keon Coleman, but he is much smaller. He is much smaller than Keon Coleman. And he didn't have tough competition to prove it against either. So that's what's kind of some concerning things for me. I think Jalen Polk is going to probably go round three, by the way. Keon Coleman, he should go round two. Brian Thomas should go top 50. Xavier Leggett should go round two. Ladd McConkey should go top 50. That's kind of where I'm expecting these guys to go. Jalen Polk, like I said, should go round three. He's somebody that if he lands as a wide receiver two or three in an offense with a very accurate quarterback, like let's say Joe Burrow, I would like that. You know, if you've got your accurate pinpoint type of quarterback, Polk would be good in that role. Because if they put it where only he can reach it, he's going to be pretty good. And he can function like that. But if he is with a quarterback who's not super accurate or, you know, tries to throw guys open, like a Tua, let's say Tua's accurate, but he also throws people open a lot, right? You're not throwing Jalen Polk open. He's not going to pull away from a defender ever. So, I mean, maybe, but not really. I mean, he's got good relative athletic score, you know, for his size and stuff, he's fast, but I don't really see that speed when he's playing. After the catch, he's pretty good. And you kind of see some of that stuff after the catch, but when it comes to running routes and stuff like that, I don't know if it's lack of confidence or if it's, I don't know what it is, but there's just always somebody there next to him. So that's kind of what concerns me about Jalen Polk. You will notice that I have yet to mention Xavier Worthy. That is not a mistake. He will be on the next podcast. Thank you guys for listening to the part two of the incoming rookie wide receivers in this class. In the next one, we're going to have Xavier Worthy, Luke McCaffrey, Devontez Walker, Troy Franklin, and Roman Wilson. So that's going to be, I'm actually 17 wide receivers deep. That's going to be the next five. And then we'll see what we do after that. But until next time, thank you guys for listening. Drop a rating, drop a review, share with a friend, hit me up if you want to join the Discord. It's free and got a lot going on in there. Great community, and I've got a lot to offer for you in terms of content, helping you make your team better and giving you new things to think about, because I think a lot of times I dive deep into the things that I look into, and when I share that thought process, a lot of times you'll be like, wow, maybe I should think about doing that. With that said, thank you guys, and until next time, peace.